Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Sharon Bradley, Nancy Galway, and Phil Powers. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Sharon Bradley, and I would like to thank you for coming to tonight's broadcast of Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we'll be talking to the wonderful Claude Lavertue about conscious affirmative living. Before we get started, though, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts. A warm welcome to Maureen Holleran. Hi, Maureen.
Well, hi, Sharon, and how are you?
Oh, great, thank you.
And so, you can ask me, I have a feeling, a psychic feeling, you're going to ask me, would you please tell me a little bit about yourself? Could that be true?
I am.
Okay.
I am. Spot on.
I guess that's what I do. I read people's minds. No, I'm just, Sharon, I feel, I'm not, anyway. My name is Maureen. I work with my co-host here as well on Psychic Access Talk. com, and I am a what you call a clairvoyant, a clairsent, not sentient, but I smell and I hear. And I have now, there's a new clair, it's called clairempathy, okay, and I'm empathic, whatever. And I have a caring heart that allows me to receive psychic impressions, visions, and feelings about the ability to see beyond appearances, and I'm well versed in relationships, business, and financial ventures, and so on. And so I'm really happy to be here, and I've been doing this for over 20 years, and so there you have it. Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks, Maureen. Glad you're here. And another wonderful co-host is Nancy Galway. Hi, Nancy. Nancy, we lost Nancy.
Hello, how are you? I muted myself. I did it backwards. Sorry.
That's okay. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm very well. How are you?
Pretty good. So, you want to tell us a little bit about your work?
Well, I'm on PsychicAccess.com as well with all the other co-hosts this evening, and I consider myself an intuitive empath, and I use the tarot cards as a tool and a guide, and I get messages from, I'd like to think, guardian angels. And I have some of the clairs going on, but I'm waiting for the show on clairs to find out more about which ones I have. Because I'm so confused.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Well, thanks, Nancy. Thanks for being here. So, and a warm welcome to Phil Powers. He's another co-host. So, hi, Phil.
Hey, Sharon. I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. So do you want to tell us a little bit about your work?
Well, I also work with everyone else on Psychic Access, and I'm really not sure how I get the info. I'm clairvoyant and channel and use tarot and a pendulum, and I'm real good at business ventures and all that happy stuff, and that's pretty much it, I think.
Wow, that's great. We love the way you do your readings, Phil. So thanks. And along with everyone else, my name is Sharon Bradley, and I also do readings on PsychicAccess.com. And I don't really use any tools per se, but I receive information and I can see pictures from spirit. So that's how I do my readings. So tonight, I'm totally delighted and honored to interview our extra special guest, Claude Lavertue. Claude is a spiritual advisor, public speaker, and founder of Conscious Affirmative Living Ministry. He is the author of a new and wonderful book called Giraffe Neck Soup, and the author of a wonderful novel, whoa, it was amazing, called Love Dare. Both books make you craving for his next one. To meet Claude is to love him. For more information on Claude, you can visit his website at www.claudelavertue.com. lover2.com. So it's CLAUDELAVERTU.com. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our show with Ashana last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible. So be sure to include others in on our show. So, Claude, are you there with us?
I am there,
quote.
Sharon.
Sorry, your quote.
I am here. How are you?
That's great. So, welcome to the show. I'm so excited. We were going to have you on before, and something happened, and we couldn't, so I'm so glad you're here.
Well, I'm just thrilled to be here. It's so good to be interviewed by you, and I haven't seen you in a while. I know you personally. I think the listeners should know that. I just think you're a wonderful, wonderful human being and an excellent psychic and a gift to just about everybody you come into contact with.
And, okay, just a minute. I have to cry.
I'm so honored to be here. And of course, I haven't met the other hosts, but greetings to you all. Hello.
Oh, that's lovely. So, it's conscious affirmative living. So can you just sort of sum it up in a nutshell for everybody, or is that asking too much?
No, well, I guess it is. It's just living consciously and affirmatively. And, people understand, a lot of people who are of a spiritual nature understand the importance of being positive. But it's understanding to what extent, to what extreme, that we must live affirmatively and consciously on a moment-to-moment basis. And that's,
right.
I guess, in a nutshell.
So don't live in the past, don't live in the future, just live right now.
It really is, and it's inaccurate to say that the past is we shouldn't dwell on the past, and we shouldn't live in the future because we affect the now. Now really is, of course, where we have the power. But there's so much good in the past that we've had in our lives, and so much good to come. The dreams we want. It's important to use the affirmative aspects of the past and the future to empower us in the now.
Okay, so when you say affirmative, so you mean like get the positive out of it?
For instance, let's say that you've had a difficult, which most people have had a difficult past because we've had challenging moments in our lives. But if we reach back, if we're going to insist on living in the past, and we have a memory for a reason, and if we can go back and pick out all the most affirmative aspects of our lives, those things will make us feel better of the path we've been through and how resilient we are to have made it through whatever we made it through. The other thing is, when we have our dreams, they have to do about the future. They have to do about the road we're going to go on. They have to do about where we're going, and we have to have that visual. So when we're saying, oh, visualize, which, as you know, is a very, very powerful concept, creative visualization, well, we're not visualing the moment. We're visualing that future, that goal. So we must, that's where we must dwell in the moment about taking action. Now's the time to take action. Every moment of the now, we must take action. But it's perfectly okay to go into the past and go into the future if we do so in an affirmative, in a positive manner.
Like don't drag up the old stuff, like the stuff that caused pain and stuff.
If it does come back and haunt you, which has happened to most people, it comes back to haunt you. Look at it, explore it once and for all, and dig out the affirmative, the gold and the jewels that always have been there, and that we've been blinded by our own pain and our own attachment to old hurts and old experiences. If we go back to our most difficult moments, there's always immense, golden opportunities, if you will, or immense affirmative energy surrounding that trying time or that difficult period.
Right. That's great. And that's why we're here, I think. So that's good. So I cracked up when I saw the name of your book, Giraffe Neck Soup, because I remember once we were, I don't know where we were, but I saw a giraffe around you psychically. So when I saw that, it made me laugh. So can you tell everyone where that came from, or is that a long story?
Yes.
Or can you
hint on it? Well, I knew the book, when I was writing the book, it was about, you know, very serious matters, but I didn't want to, you know, it was basically serious, scientific and conscious concepts delivered in layman's terms, just so every single person could understand it, regardless of how advanced or how minimal their consciousness. And so I wanted everyone to understand, but the original title was A Spherical Perspective into the Betterment and Advancement of Humanity. And I thought, this is going to be hard. And then I was learning Spanish, and a friend of mine, it started by I was saying I'm a vegetarian, and he's saying, well, you don't eat any kind of meat? I go, no. And he's like, no pork, no chicken, no fish? I go, so I thought, what's an absurd meat? I could, yes. And so I said, yeah, I eat giraffe meat, and the part from the neck, which is really good. And so it was this big joke. I got it in the car and thought, wouldn't it be ludicrous to name my book that? And then you get that feeling. You know that feeling you get deep inside of the core of your very being?
Yeah.
It would be a tragedy for me not to name that book, Giraffe Neck Soup. And I told him, I had said, I'm going to name my book this. And that was the joke. And lo and behold, it ended up, I started visualizing it. And of course, as you know, giraffes everywhere. I was seeing them everywhere after this. Beforehand, I don't remember seeing a giraffe since I can't even remember, you know? It's just it's kind of funny how it just happened.
So and then every time I see one, like a toy or something, I always think of you. So I always send you, whenever I see a giraffe, I just send you a little prayer or blessing.
Bless your soul. Bless you. Thank you.
So that's cute. Well, that's a great story. And I think that, you know, I think that title kind of makes it extra special, you know, because people are curious, and then they're like, well, that sounds neat, you know, so they pick it up. So I think that was a wise choice. So now, I know you kind of go on subjects where political angels fear to tread, and I've watched this about you. You're kind of a trailblazer, an inner trailblazer, sort of. Now, this doesn't scare you at all. Is do you want to talk about that, or does that make any sense, what I'm saying here?
Yeah, it terrifies me.
Okay, because you always seem with such confidence, you just move forward in directions, and I just wondered, know from the book, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, just so not to shake any of the listeners, I won't say which chapter, but this is a chapter that a friend of mine quoted on a Facebook page, and she got lambasted because of the quote that she'd put on regarding one of the subjects. And it was incredible, the kerfuffle it caused. And I'm like, oh my gosh, leave me out of this. And I thought, well, you got to get used to this because people are going to have their opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is people are so, everybody's so angry and everybody wants to, they're reacting. But what happens is, as long as we keep reacting to the other side, no one's actually taking action. So there's action and there's reaction. We're just reacting to each other and you know, we're not finding the answer, whether it's politics, whether it's, you know, the heavier stuff of the book, the heavier aspects. But then I, you know, when I cover things like law of attraction, which most of your listeners are going to be familiar with, you know, there's some really popular books out there who are selling what the law of attraction is. And among other things, they're saying that it is the most powerful, it's the most powerful force in the universe, or that it is the universe. And what I've come to recognize is that the law of attraction is one law amongst many, a plethora of laws, or plethora, depending on how you pronounce it. And what happens is we're hearing a lot of, I'll give you an example. They're saying that law of attraction, well, what goes around comes around. What goes around comes around applies to the law of cause and effect, not the law of attraction. The law of cause and effect dictates you cannot do something without causing something else to happen.
Right.
So that, in effect, is the law of cause and effect. The law of cause and effect requires the law of attraction to function, and vice versa. It's kind of like your fingers, as magical as they are, would not work without the palm of your hand. The palm of your hand would be useless without your elbow, and your elbow would be useless without your heart. And it all works together. And it's understanding the reason. This isn't about to harp on how someone described it. This is about clarifying and differentiating these different laws. If we are going to manipulate them, we need to understand what it is we're manipulating, and we need to understand and recognize the consequences.
Right. Yeah. Well put. Now, you know, we have some of our co-hosts. We have Nancy, Phil, and Maureen. And Maureen had a question for you. And so this will happen throughout the interview. So, Maureen, did you want to ask your question?
Well, no. At the beginning, hi, this is Maureen, by the way.
Hi, Maureen. How are
and
you?
And hi, nice to meet you. And it was at the beginning of what you were saying. It is so important, and I feel very strong about that, because about being in the now, and you know, there's other people, you know, Eckhart Tolle, and about the now is very difficult though. I'm consciously aware how difficult it is for me to really, if I don't think hard about it, I can do it. But there's, it is hard to be in the now moment. But as far as what the, I agree with you on the past, it is okay to go to the past and not dwell on it, but take some parts, because, for instance, my issues were very, it was troublesome getting, but it's not the destination. It's not about that, but it's the journey getting to where you're supposed to be. So I found out a lot of things that I did not think I needed was the things I needed the most, for instance, and they were struggles and obstacles. So I wanted just to say that I really respect that you brought that up, because a lot of times that kind of gets shrugged along, I think. So
yeah,
that's my, I just wanted to just make just my express myself for that.
Well,
so thank you.
Oh, well, thank you. And you know, bringing that back up, you know, in my book, Sharon, remember we there's the 10 for 20. It's 10 pages for 20 days of affirmations, and it's about
right.
And I developed, it took me 3 years to develop these affirmations, in that it had to be inherently and perfectly affirmative. That meant I did not use the word enough, because within the word enough is E-N-O, and subconsciously the mind sees the word no. So it was not inherently an affirmative word. The word now is specifically removed because the first two letters of the word are N-O, which is not an affirmative. So the word now, it's been replaced with the present moment, for instance. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because we must understand that the now, as it's being presented, I mean, we're as humans, we're babies still. We're such a young species. We're just starting to grasp the concept. These powerful tools that we're, but what happens, we learn one aspect of them and we think we've learned everything and that it's the only thing. And I can appreciate what you're saying, Maureen, because you really, you know, you go in the past and it is okay to go there, but we must learn to use the negative stuff as a tool. We as human beings have a way of manipulating memory in ways that no other species is capable.
Yeah.
And that is there for a reason. We're a resilient, brilliant species. We are, you know, we can talk about how fast other animals, for instance, how fast other animals develop, and we take longer to develop. But as a species, our development over, say, 300,000 years has been more than any other species over millions of years. And part of that, there's a deeper reason for that. And I believe that our memory and the way we manipulate it, or the capacity we have to manipulate it, can play and will play eventually a huge role in our advancement.
I agree with that. Absolutely. You're right. And being in the presence is a much better way of putting it. I'm present.
Yes.
When you're, exactly. Thank you. That's good.
Yeah,
thank you for that.
You're welcome. Yeah. And I'm not the type of person to tell people, you know, if I hear someone say the word now, or if I hear someone, I won't correct people, because it's important to pay attention, especially for spiritual people. We're supposed to have a consciousness, and then we turn around and we, you know, belittle a word someone uses. It's important to recognize that it's not always the words that are important; it is the message. That said, when we personally, in our own growth, in our own path, it's important for us to recognize, to be the most affirmative, because it's being affirmative every step of the way, everything we think, say, do, and anything that approaches us, we turn it into a positive. And it's important for us to recognize that ourselves. So recognizing the present as opposed to now empowers us, because it's affirmative.
Right. And it's interesting. I remember someone saying to me once, we're always judged by our intent, you know. So I just thought of that when you were saying that. I just want to talk a little. I'm going to switch up the questions for a bit. But you were just talking about the 10 pages of affirmations in the book. And did you get any feedback from that? Like, I tried to do them, and tried is a big word there. And I get halfway through, and then I'm kind of like frustrated. So do you get a lot of reaction from that?
Everybody, it is the love-hate chapter of the book, because I should explain, it's a 10 for 20, so it's 10 pages for 20 days. And it takes about, you know, when I first started doing them, it took me an hour and a half to get through them. Now I can do them in about 40, 45 minutes. The thing is, it is about the discipline. As humans, we are so undisciplined. It is the thing that we are missing the most on this planet is discipline. We all know what to do. We all know what we want in life. We're not disciplined. And we have to be. The greatest things in life happen because someone was disciplined and dedicated, and that's what we must do. So if you can do 10 pages for 20 days, which most people cannot do, if you could do that 10 pages for 20 days consistently without an interruption, then you can achieve anything. But if you can't even do that, you have to ask, okay, you know, how disciplined am I with anything else? This is for my being. This is for my for my mind. This is for my body. This is for my dreams. And I can't even do 10 for 20 pages. They are. It is an exercise. It is. It's kind of like I want to say like a boot camp for the soul in the mind.
I even thought of like taping it, and then I thought, well, maybe it's something to be seeing the words, you know. So like, have you thought of, is that, does that change it if you tape it and listen to it?
Yes, what I'm developing is I am developing a recorded disc, and what happens is taping it is not enough because the subconscious mind thinks in many different ways, and by many different ways I mean simply such simple ways that if I could draw out a picture for you, which I can't over Skype, but just how the mind works in different ways. So I've developed a format for an affirmative compact disc that people will be able to have. It won't put them to sleep. They can use it in the car, and it will be very empowering. In the meantime, just repeating it on a disc, the effort is in the being and the now. You have to focus. You have to read these. So you're affecting yourself. You're saying them verbally. You're looking at them. You're thinking them. You're affecting yourself. And this is being in the moment and applying discipline.
Okay, so, I didn't realize that each word was like a positive word. I didn't get that part.
Yes, and that's the, well, I'll give you an example. A lot of people say affirmations, and let's say that somebody's trying to heal breast cancer. And so, and I'm just jumping to that as an example because it's such a big issue right now in life, in for humanity. So if a woman says, you know, I'm seeing this breast cancer go away, I'm seeing, you know, the sickness, well, you've said the word breast cancer, and you said sickness, then it's you've affirmed it. Every word, every thought, every prayer, every word and every thought is a prayer and a praise. The universe, God, whatever you want to call it, does not differentiate between, you know, what you want and don't want. It really acknowledges. So it's like, you know, you say you want a burger, great. You say you want a glass of water, great. The waiter's going to give it to you. It's that literal. And it has to be consistently affirmative. So if I want you to think about a kangaroo, I say kangaroo. If I want you to not think about a zebra, then I shouldn't have said zebra because now you're visualizing a zebra. It's right. The same thing. So if I'm saying, oh, I wish these zebras would go away. I'm visualizing the zebras going away. I will no longer see zebras with stripes. And, you know, well, you've affirmed it. So it really has to, the ideal way to affirm, to create an affirmation, is to create the absolute opposite. So the opposite of breast cancer is saying, I have healthy breasts, or I have a healthy body, or I'm perfectly healthy. And you take the mind and everything completely away from the issue.
Right, and do you think that that's why, I remember reading somewhere, a war on anything is basically making it happen, you know, like the war on drugs, and there'll never be a solution to it, because it's, you know, it's sort of the same.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'll give you an example. You know, I don't know, not to get too political, but again, with the breast cancer thing, there's a campaign that's been out for about a year, and it's these targets, t-shirts with targets over the breasts. I'm like going, are you kidding me?
I saw that.
Put on this thing. No, let's stop giving attention to this disease. Let's cure it. Let's take care of the people who have it. Let's take care of each other. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's move toward health. Let's not create a target and say, oh, here, this is breast cancer. Target me here. This is what I'm saying. And so that's just an example, you know, without getting
too. So we'll leave that talk for a second. So, all right. So you have so many gifts, Claude. You have, you're a writer, and I know you're a baker because I've tasted those butter tarts. And I heard through the grapevine that you're a gifted musician. So is that true?
Yeah, I sing and I compose, and I adore singing. It was something that I wanted to pursue, but it's kind of like you pray about it, you move toward it, and if it's not the right thing, if it doesn't pan out, the book was something that I knew I just had to do, and now I've got 3 books out, and I knew that this was the right direction. I still will always sing. I may record again, but it's just what it is. I'll have people say, "Well, where do you find the time to do all this stuff?" Or, "Yeah, right. You really are a singer." Or, "Yeah, you're a designer." Or, "Yeah, I'm a single guy. I'm not married, and I just am doing all the things I want to do. One day, if I'm married and I have kids, that's going to come first.
Right.
I mean, I have to come first, obviously, but. While I'm single and while I don't have kids and while I have this chance to experience and do all these things and live these talents, whether I'm extremely talented or relatively talented, I want to do them. And so I'm exploring them.
That's great. That's great. So now I just heard you say 3 books. So where's the other one? How come I missed one? Do you have another book out?
You asked
about... Like you have Love Dare.
Mm-hmm.
And Giraffe's Neck Soup. So what's the other one?
Well, what happened is I had been working on on things that I could not incorporate into Giraffe Neck Soup because I didn't want to turn Giraffe Neck Soup into a workbook. So what happened is there was such a response about the 10 for 20 pages. Like I said, it was a love for hate. People go, "Oh, I've been doing the 10 for 20 pages. It's so hard," but they keep doing it, which is great.
Yeah.
Well, I created a new book, and it's got a bunch of exercises. It's called The Affirmative Companion. And it's referred to as a meditative introspective workbook and journal.
Uh-huh.
And what it is, it's got meditations, prayers, exercises. It helps people to understand how to pray affirmatively in any, whether traditionally or, new age way. And there's a bunch of different, there's questionnaires and journals and all sorts of things in it. It's a very exciting, it's about the size of a Harlequin romance. It's thicker than that, but it's about the same size, so that people can take it with them in purses and knapsacks, and they can work on it, during whatever you can write in it. And this has been a very powerful little book. Now, it came together fast, but I had been working on it for years. There's probably about 10 years of different ideals. That when the 10 for 20 came out, I got this such a when the book came out and people were excited about the 10 for 20. I realized it was, I thought, something was telling me there's another book here. And I went and pulled everything together. And when it came together, I said, "Oh my gosh." And then all of a sudden, before I knew it, it was ready to go, And so it was something that was an overnight, I want to say an overnight creation, but it was, 10 years in the making.
Oh, I have to get me one. That sounds really good.
Well,
so
I also wanted to say the books are all available on lulu.com. It's the easiest way to get them. They're available in other places like Amazon as well, and it was Amazon and Chapters and all these places. But lulu.com is the best place to get them. You get more of get more information at the actual sites about them, and they're dedicated. They're actually dedicated to giving more information about the books. So I just thought I'd suggest that to the listeners.
Oh, okay, and also you can get them from your site too, can't you? Or it just goes right into the Lulu site from your site, maybe.
You can get Love Dare and Giraffe Neck Soup from my site, and The Affirmative Companion at lulu.com and a few other places on the site. Yeah.
Okay, neat. Now, what's good, you mentioned Love Dare. So, Love Dare, for me, that was like the best book ever. It still haunts me to today, Like, it was just like, to me, a good book is when it stays with you and you can remember the characters and you kind of glimpse into that, that all the little things that happened in the book. And I just, do people say that about the book? Like, that's haunting. I just say it's haunting.
Yes, that does happen a lot, and that's surprising to me in a way. I say in a way because when I wrote the book, I cried when I wrote it, I mm-hmm. cried when I edited it, and I cried when I had to re-edit it for the second edition, and the large print came mm-hmm. out, and which was very exciting for me. And but I cried, it still gets me because it's so it is profound, and I say that without pretense. I didn't write it; it comes from another place. And I should say that for the listeners, that is a novel, and what happened is. I had a guy who told me that, just you know, without beating around the bush here, he said that he didn't take his life because he read this book. He decided that it would gave him hope. I didn't think a novel would do that to somebody.
And I thought that's beautiful.
If that one guy, if it saved a life, I don't care if I never sell another copy. I don't care if anything ever happened. To know that it saved a life is... You know you did God's work at that point, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's really nice. Now, I have to ask you, though, did that house really exist, that beautiful house?
Yes, I started writing the book in Toronto, and then I moved out to this little town called Hastings on the Trent River, which is a little place I just fell in love with, and I bought that house, and I started writing again when I had some time off from work. I was traveling a lot for work, and I have time off. And all of a sudden, this rest of Lovedare came together, and the house was named Trentworth, and I decided it was going to be in there. So, it exists. It definitely exists. And, of course, I've sold the house since. I sold the house about a year ago. It's still there.
Would you have sold it if you had known the success of the books? Or I guess that's personal. Sorry, I shouldn't.
No, it's okay. It's okay. And you know what? I don't mind sharing my personal, as you know, with Lovedare, there was a lot of personal stuff that went in there. So, I don't mind. It's funny because, you know, I'm between houses right now. And right now I went today to look at an actual house, and there was something, a place that I always thought I'd like, and it just kind of thought, you know what, I think I'm done. I think I realize it's time for a new chapter, literally and figuratively. I think it was the right thing to do. I feel right about it. I still have attachment to the ideal of the house, but mm-hmm. the house itself, something happened specifically today. It's just so funny. I just made peace with it.
Ah, okay. It's all of us that are hanging on to it. We want it. museum.
Yeah.
It's a great book, everyone. So if you ever get a chance to read it, it's a really nice book. So now you mentioned this a little bit before. Where does the writing come? Like, is it channeled, or like does something take over you? Like, how do you feel your writing comes to you?
It's a mix of things. When I was 14 years old, I was sitting in the car, and I was deafened by silence at one point, the silence got, I was just meditating on silence, and I realized how loud it was, and I was sitting in a car on a sunny day, but a regular sunny day. I wasn't like sweltering hot or anything, and the silence. And then I thought, for some reason, I started thinking about, I'm like, the noise just goes on and on. And then I started meditating on infinity, and I actually started to see infinity as it applies to space. And the end of infinity. And I know that sounds crazy. I was 13 years old. I'm not a drug user. I was a normal kid and what have you. And it scared me. And I never went back there again. And then eventually I started, I guess in my 20s, it kind of creeped back. And I was always, I want to say psychic, but I didn't really know how to, because no one had taught me about it. My grandmother was psychic. My mother is psychic. And my brothers and sisters, I'm the only one that's psychic. And I decided to start exploring that meditative thought again. Said, you know what, I'm going to meditate on infinity as applies to space, just as a scientific experiment. And when I started to see that, I realized the power of my own mind. And then I thought, well, if you can visualize infinity as applies to space, then imagine what else you could visualize and what you could see. And so I started seeing, well, what is world peace and all this stuff, and what are the steps to get there? And so I did. It's a cross between channeling from the higher self, dialogue with directly with the Almighty in whatever capacity the Almighty may exist, and just intelligence, just thinking, absolute thinking, and then I worked it all from there. You know, just started. And now, not so much with the novel. With the novel, it was pure creativity, but there was something else there. There was something, the ideals, the feelings were there. The higher self directed me. But with Giraffe Neck Soup, there were concepts I had to simplify, because I tried to explain them the way I was seeing things. And it was difficult. It was difficult because I thought, no one's going to understand this. So I had to really simplify and use examples and what have you. I'm not entirely confident that the whole book everyone will understand, but for the most part, they will. And a lot of it, like I said, is, I want to say channeled, but not, I don't go into a meditative space. I just start writing and it flows. And then I have to go back and reshape it. And so I don't write a book as much as I compose a book. And I think that comes from my musical side. You know, I'll pound everything out. I do the same thing with composing music. I pound it out on the keyboards and then I refine it. I do the same thing with the writing.
Okay, that's nice. Composing writing, that's really pretty.
Yeah.
So we're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, Claude, and we'll be right back after a word from our sponsors, psychicaccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Claude Lover, too. And we just had a little bit of a commercial, and I have another question for you. So what advice can you give to someone who's thinking of writing their own book?
Oh, gosh. That, you know what? Of all the questions, I never thought that would be. It's be true to yourself. It's like with anything. And by that, I mean you're not going to get tap into your creativity if you're not true to yourself.
Mm-hmm. So listen to yourself.
Listen to yourself, be true to yourself, put out what you originally intended, and let it take form. And perhaps if I can put in a close second, it would be just pound it out. Don't worry about editing. Don't worry about the appearance. Just pound it out. Just get it out. Just write and write and write. And don't judge it. Let it flow. Worry about editing next.
Oh, okay. And it's funny because everyone, like, I mean, I do a lot of readings and either I see a book in their future or they want to write a book. So it's something that a lot of people want to do. It's just, you know, and I'm just really proud of you that you took hold and did it and you just went forward. It's really good. So
well,
I guess there's that discipline thing again.
It is.
Right?
It is.
So now what's next on the agenda for you? We talked about your CD and your books. Is there another book, Foreman?
There are two, actually. One is a relationship book, which is just kind of in the same idea to go with the Affirmative Companion, and that's like a workbook and whatever. I shouldn't say whatever, a workbook and such. But the other one is another, it's a continuation of Love Dare. And what it is, it's another novel. And the novel I'd been working on at the same time I was working on Giraffe Neck Soup. And I'd go from one to the other, but eventually I had to make a decision. Both were flourishing, and I knew one needed my attention more than the other. And I had to make a decision to get it accomplished. And I realized, I prayed about it, and the answer was, humanity comes first.
Uh-huh.
And it was hard, Sharon, because at the time I really wanted to lose myself in the story. I wanted to lose myself in the story of this other novel I'm doing. But I knew this Giraffe Neck Soup had to get out there. I knew there were concepts that I wanted to clarify. It is the book that I wished somebody would have written about spiritual concepts, about law of attraction, about spirituality, about government, about how we are responsible for our lives, the things that, because a lot of books that are out there, and I'm sure you would concur, a lot of the books on spirituality and by these, I want to use the term gurus, a lot of it, they're just repeating the same thing. They're just repeating what someone else wrote, and they're not putting anything new, and they're all giving the same vague messages, and I wanted something more profound. I wanted, if people were really searching, I wanted to have the opportunity that they could read it. You know, it may be arrogant to say, well, who are you? You know, like, who am I to say that this is the right thing? Who am I? I'm another human being, and at least these were my thoughts and my ideas and my concepts. And it's something that I didn't just go and plagiarize in a creative way. Mm-hmm. And that's where that came from. So now we're, you know, now that I'm back on the other book, working on the other novel, it's kind of like my time out for me, it's still hard work, but I'm enjoying it and I get to lose myself in the story for a while. So that's my treat now.
Ah, oh, I can't wait. Whee! Yeah, that's going to be a good one. So, what's the biggest miracle that's ever happened in your life? Like, is that a strange question? But I don't know why I want to ask you that. So have you ever had like a miracle that happened?
I have. It's very profound. And in a way, I want to say it sounds kind of corny. And I'm ashamed of myself for saying that, because I'm listening to the people are tuned in right now. You know, I don't have to convince them. I don't have to sell on them. It was the day that I want to say God or the universe or higher self spoke to me. And it was one message, and that's what, it was so powerful. And I was 21 years old. I'd just come back from California. I'd failed miserably at trying to have an acting career. And I arrived back, and I lied there on the sofa of my friend's house, and I started falling asleep, and all of a sudden I heard as clear as day, and it wasn't a man's voice or a woman's voice, and it wasn't a child's voice, but it was an adult, and it said, misery is what stops your dreams from working.
Mm.
And I shot up like I wasn't falling asleep, I was there staring at the ceiling. It was as if someone was in the room. And that was a miracle, because that's what got me through more recent trying times in more recent years. And that, I want to say, there was that, and the other miracle, discovering at a very young age that I had a best friend in my sister, Patty.
Aww. That's interesting, because we were just talking about the name Patty. That's so sweet.
That's right, we were. We were talking about it before the show.
Like, just before the show, so that's really great.
Well, because not too many kids realize that at a young age. And we were in a car. We were driving to somewhere in Lake Erie. We were kids. Our parents were in the car. We were in the back seat of this little hatchback my parents had rented. And her and I were having a good time just laughing in the back seat and whatever. And she fell asleep. We both fell asleep. It was a long trip. We woke up and she said, "I had a dream." And I said, "What?" She goes, "Somebody asked me if we were brothers and sister." And I said, "Yeah." And she said, and I said, "No, we're just best friends." And I thought, wow, and it meant so much to me. And, you know, I shrugged it off and probably, you know, but I realized it. I just never said anything. I was a boy, you know. It's like, okay, whatever. But I understood it at a young age. And if it wasn't for her, with all the trials and tribulations we went through in our lives, I don't think I would be here. I really don't, because I think I would have given up hope on myself and my capacities, my talents. You know, for someone who's been through so much herself, she's earned her place in heaven tenfold.
Oh, God bless her, eh? That's great. Yes,
and she's my miracle.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I like that. Sorry, I know that was kind of personal, so I didn't, but it just seemed like the right thing to say. So, now, how do you manifest? Or like, you know, there's a lot of talk about manifesting and stuff like that. Do you actually manifest yourself, like, things?
I do. I did a lot of tests. Some things I mention in my book, like, you know, I started small, like I was going to, you know, trying manifesting real things in my life, like physical things, for instance, daffodils in a snowstorm. And I did it, and I couldn't believe my eyes, and I'm like, oh, and how it all came to be was just like, you know, which I won't get into the whole thing. But the most powerful thing is when I was a kid, I always wanted a Rolls Royce, an actual Rolls-Royce car. I just thought they were the most magnificent machine I'd ever seen. I'm a bit of a car guy, but I just loved that specific car. In 1980, I had a toy, and I was a little kid, and I had a toy. It was a little burgundy Rolls-Royce with like a Hot Wheels car with cream interior and the wheel on the right side. And I decided to start, I've forgotten about that toy. Flash forward a few years back, I decided to manifest this Rolls Royce, and I'm grateful for the Rolls Royce, and I even changed the position in my own car to seat up higher because I knew a Rolls Royce rode higher, and I wanted to really start feeling like I was driving in a Rolls Royce and give thanks for it. Lo and behold, I was supposed to go away to Arizona for some work. It got canceled, it got postponed. I go to a car auction, just happened to be here once a year, I go there, they got a bunch of Rolls Royces. Isn't there one that is a 1980, when my toy was in 1980, was cream interior, the wheel on the right side, and didn't I get that car that should have sold for about $80,000 for $9,000?
Oh, probably the insurance was more.
Actually, the insurance was actually less because it was a classic car.
Oh, but dear. Do you still have the car?
I finally sold it. I had fun with it for a few years, but I sold it. The priorities change. It was an act, you know, to try it out. And I did love it. People were like, oh, you know, do you go to any special place? I'm like, no, I go grocery shopping with it. I go get the mail with it. I was enjoying it. The best part of having the car was sharing it, because most people I know didn't have one or ever drove one, and it was nice to share. But it's a prime example of how when we relinquish, I wasn't attached to it, but I had put it out there, and I relinquished it, I let go, but you also take action. It wasn't going to show up in my driveway one day. I had to go buy the car. I had to sacrifice something for it, in this case, $9,000, which for Rolls Royce isn't a lot, but we have this idea, this is where cause and effect comes into it. I always realize whatever I attract, there has to be payback in some form. Most people don't acknowledge that. The idea that the world is our catalog, like any catalog, pay now or pay later, you have to pay.
Right. So,
you know, and so you can have whatever you want, but, you know, somewhere along the line, there's, for instance, I visualized that car, but it never occurred to me that it was going to cost me $2,000 to replace the muffler.
That's almost as much as the car. Oh, sorry, Maureen.
It just reminds me of something. You play, you pay, because I know I have nice cars too as well, and you do. I mean, and everything. That's, you know, metaphorically, yeah. But still, you got it.
Yeah, at least you got it. That's cool. I hope you got lots of pictures.
I do, and, you know, but that's the other thing with the books. You know, it was funny. I remember pretending that I was being interviewed about my book. This was a long time ago, about Love Dare. I remember imagining, I'd be in the car and imagine that I was being interviewed. And every time I'd imagine the questions, they were always of a spiritual nature. Here I am a couple of years later being interviewed about spirituality in a book that I've written on it. And I really have manifested a lot of things. There are things that I'm struggling with because I'm too attached to let go. And it's almost like, you know, you go through a drive-through restaurant, and, you know, when you go place your order, I want a burger, fries, and what do? You drive up to the window, you pay, and you go. You don't back the car back up to the window and ask again. You're going to smash into the car behind you. I know it's a silly example, but it's exactly that. We trust that we're going to get our burger and fries. We don't trust. We're not putting faith. We can attract things that we're not so attached to because we relinquish them. We let them go. And this or better is to come.
Right.
So when I've manifested, the things I have manifested, it's kind of like when you thought of a friend or you thought of something or you imagined something and it manifested on its own. It's because you put feeling and thought into it and then you let it go. And there was no more thought. It really, you have to release it. And this is the hardest part. You cannot release if you keep dwelling on it. And this is the importance of where we come back to integrity and discipline. Because while we put the stuff out there, we need to get our butts back in gear and back to work. That does two things. It helps to attract what we want, and it gets our mind off what we've put out there. Because that's living in the now, great. Universe is working, God's working on bringing that thing to me, that person to me, that whatever. I'm working on bettering myself. Be prepared for that.
Yeah, I find that when doing readings, a lot of people that want a relationship, it's like they dwell on it, and they dwell on it. It's like, whoa, let go a bit, you know, because you're never going to do it. You're just pushing it. That's funny. So now in your book, Giraffe Neck Soup, there's a few blank pages, and I have to tell you, I really love that. Like, it made me feel clean. I don't know. I can't explain it. Like a new beginning. So can you just explain why you did that? It was quite profound. So can you just explain a bit what that was all about?
Sure. It's chapter, I should know. This is chapter 13, I think, or chapter 11. And it's entitled Truth. And it is, 5 or 6 or 10 pages of blank pages. And why that is my first, I want to say my first guru or spiritual mentor had taught me about, he had learned some teachings beyond what our Bible teaches us today, or the Holy Bible teaches. And he was talking about the different, what he had come to understand about the many great minds, spiritual beings of the past, Christ, Buddha, Krishna. And he had said, when asked, in short, and I don't know what his sources were, but it always stayed with me. He said, when the Buddha was asked, what is truth? He remained silent until the next question came. When Christ was asked what truth was, he turned and walked away. And I thought, this book is all these ideas of, you know, ideas that I believe that are going to advance and better humanity. But I would never be so arrogant to say is, this is truth. Once you say this is truth, you recognize it as an absolute. And I've come to recognize that there are very, very few precious absolutes in all of existence. And I thought it was important to underscore that. And I knew that people who were more of a, had a theologian background would understand and maybe even get a laugh from that chapter. And then I knew other people would have different feelings. And I was compelled to leave that chapter in there. Even though against my better, like I was in my head, I thought, oh, people aren't going to get this. But my gut said, you have to leave this here. Because then people like you come along going, I felt renewed, or I felt refreshed, or I knew this. It, some people meditated on it. Other people thought that they got shortchanged.
I like that it was a statement. It was like, this is my book, and you know, like you know that if you went to a publisher, they'd go, well, you know, you got to take that out. But it was your book, and you did what you wanted, and it just stood for so many things for me, and I really liked that chapter.
Wow, that's
it was easy to read. So. But well, that's good. Now, do you teach this? Do you teach this at like a school, or like do you have your school of this thought, or how do you are you doing anything like that with this?
Yes, there are two things. I do give talks, and I haven't done one in a while, only because I've been so busy with promoting the books and so forth, and I have other things on the go. I give talks on affirmative concepts. So, you know, I've given talks on wealth. I've given talks on relationships and so forth. So one of the upcoming I want to speak to is sexuality and how it applies to spirituality and how this all mixes. And this is a talk I'm going to be giving with a good friend of mine who's actually a wonderful psychologist. And, you know, we talked about giving this talk, not for shock value, but to really make people understand different aspects of the mechanics and the our nature and so forth. But beyond that, I've established an organization called the Conscious Affirmative Living Ministry. And we call it CALM for short, C-A-L-M. And what it is, basically, we're just so far a small group of people that get together and we pray, meditate, discuss affirmative concepts, and we learn from each other, and we discuss, there's no right or wrong, but the mandate is to breed the affirmative conscious thinking and basic affirmative consciousness. And I've been involved with churches, and I've been involved with different centers and organizations that claim spirituality, and then you go and listen to them do their affirmative prayer treatments and so forth, and you hear them use all these negative words, you know, like, you know, I am no longer struggling with finances. Well, if you say struggling with finances. So I realized there was so much negativity everywhere, and I thought, you know what, there's no church, there's no center, there's no spiritual place to go. And I thought, like the book, I'm going to create my own. And if it's 10 people to show up, if it's just me and God, or if it's 1,000, wonderful. The idea is to take an affirmative approach. And, you know, ultimately, I have to say, Sharon, the book, you know, this is what I said to my sister some time ago when I was struggling, and I was writing the book, and I was struggling with a concept about, you know, if the book doesn't get out. And I said, this book's supposed to make the world a better place. And I realized that the book had, by writing it, had made me a better man. It made me reach deeper within myself, in my heart, and find compassion that I never knew I had. And when I understood this about myself, I realized I had, in effect, made the world a better place just by changing myself.
Yeah, that's, I like that. I like that. So we're kind of come to the end, and any last words?
You know, I just want to say, first of all, I want to say thanks to Nancy, Phil, Maureen, and Doug. I want to thank you. God bless you for the, you know, you're bringing hope to people, and you're bringing love, and you're bringing something real to people. And I want to thank all the listeners for, you know, supporting this endeavor. I just, you know, God bless us all, everybody. I could send one message, is everybody, find the compassion within you, because it's all of us, we're all in this together, and it's all of us that are going to change this world for the better.
Collectively, for sure. Thank you so much. You were wonderful. This morning, by the way.
Thank you.
Thanks. That was great.
And if I could say just one last thing quickly.
Sure.
You know, I know a lot of my friends are listening, but I wanted to specifically acknowledge Bob, Betty, and Karen, just because they are such incredible, wonderful friends, and I don't know if they're listening, but I wanted the universe and I wanted everyone to know that I got the best friends in the whole wide world.
Aw, that's nice. Hi, Betty. So thank you so much, Chloe, for joining us tonight. We had a great evening. And you know what? Thank you for being you.
Well, thank you for honoring me. I'm so honored for being part of your show, and all the best to you.
Okay, you take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. So you can find out more about Claude at www.claudelovertu.com. That's CLAUDELAVERTU.com. You can also find out more about him on our guest page at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. So, I'd like to take a moment for a few announcements. Please be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you are interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they find Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of all our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I am associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards of integrity, so my reputation is safe. You'll find all of the co-hosts here on Psychic Viewpoint on Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents per minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. There is something for everybody, so please spread the word. We'd really appreciate it. The call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. Now, please don't call in till about 9:15. That's when we'll starting to take calls. Okay? So, hi, everyone. Did you enjoy the show?
Yes, I did. He was wonderful.
It was amazing.
And he is on the same road like a lot of the spiritual people that, well, we are making a difference, but a lot of people, we all have to collectively, like Eckhart Tolle and everybody else, and we are capable of taking over the world. But we are capable of so much. It was a wonderful show, and I really did like, I liked him a lot. Yes, thanks, Sharon.
Oh, that's good. Yes. I like the way he said, you know, great. Just by changing myself, that was good enough. And I thought, oh, that was good, you know?
Yes, he was really nice. Oh, it was very nice.
Good stuff. Yes. All right, so I have some questions for you guys. Phil, what comes to mind when you think of positive affirmations?
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
Positive affirmations. It's that mute button. Positive affirmations, I think of the movie The Secret, which wasn't really a secret, but you know, regurgitated, and it was well packaged for the masses. But if you haven't seen it or read it, it's all about positive affirmations through manifestation. And if you think negative thoughts or send out negative energy, then negative things will happen, and vice versa for positive thoughts. And I think the key to manifestation is to actually envisioning and the feelings, the things, and occurring, and let the universe bring it in any way it wants. Mm-hmm. Think it, feel it, visualize it, and don't be overly specific. Just send your intentions out there.
Yeah. That's so true.
So don't say, I need money and it's going to come from this source. Just send out to the universe or envision yourself putting money into the bank.
Mm-hmm. Building it.
Just, yeah, you don't care where it comes from. Just building it and getting it going and getting the energy out there, sending out that good positive.
Yeah. Now, what do you think of, like, I was always taught to say with harm to none so that Aunt Clara doesn't croak or something. Like, so is that something that you recommend?
Well, do what you will and harm ye none, yes.
Yeah, okay.
A Bible in seven words, yes.
Yeah, okay. Okay, I just wondered. Thanks, Phil.
Okay.
Hi, Maureen. You're up next. So, Maureen, what does living an authentic life mean for you? Oh, Maureen, you there?
Yeah, you can hear me now. Oh. I was having an authentic moment with myself.
Oh.
Okay, so anyway, yes, your authentic self, to me, and again, I've said this a lot, I know, but I'm going to say it again. I am really into Jungian, Carl Jung, and everything, and I really go by a lot of, I just think he's all that and then some, and he's not here anymore, but the thing of it is about your authentic self is living an authentic life. So really, and I personally believe a lot what he has to say, and it's like this, living authentically, I know I didn't pronounce it right, is the most important aspect of living soulfully. And that's a real important part of it, soulfully. And there is nothing more important or meaningful in life than honoring your authentic self, really, and your true nature, and expressing it in the world. So when you honor your most authentic self, your spirit, you're allowing your light to shine and touch the world. And that's kind of like what he was saying in the very end, touching everybody. So it is, in simplest terms, it's like in living in your truth, and the truth in your heart and your soul, it will be allowing yourself to be a simply, it will be allowing yourself to be yourself and to be guided by the divine truth. I know it's getting a little bit, that's one of those wordings, but, and wisdom. You gain the wisdom. And so each and every day, and doing your highest, most authentic work, that's the key. If you can just do the best you can in the world, it's joyfully creating and living your highest purpose. So it's not always easy at all. I know for me, it's very difficult, and even your guests mentioned that, and I know maybe you would all agree with me. It's very hard, and it can be hard work, but the rewards are worth the effort, and it requires the courage to ask yourself the hard questions, to be completely honest, and that's the key, too, with yourself, and about what is truly important to you in this life, and how we can live in our highest good. So it's following your heart's wisdom, living your truth, and being real in every sense. That's what it is to me.
Yeah, and you represent that, Maureen, so that's good.
Well, bless your heart. Thank you, Sharon.
Yeah.
You're my best friend now. Thank you.
Nancy, hi.
Hi.
So, Nancy, how do affirmations fit into your life?
I should have put positive affirmations but I just assume that everybody, when you talk about affirmations, we mean positive, and I like to use affirmations every day, and I encourage everybody to use them, because it's just a nice way to give ourselves a lift. And as like Claude said, he felt he made a difference in the world by changing himself. So we have to work on ourselves first to, make ourselves feel good and take care of ourselves. And then we can, make a difference in the world. And I like too. I have a Facebook page, and on the Facebook page there about a week or so ago, I did the top 20 positive affirmations, and it was kind of nice too because I researched it and I looked at sites that listed all these affirmations, and there's quite a few sites out there that have daily affirmations for people, so they could just Google them and just see all these wonderful positive affirmations that you can use, and it really does make a difference in your own life.
I wonder what the number one affirmation is.
I said it was, I thought it was the one, I am.
I am. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's. I think that's a very, movie or something profound. Coming out. Yeah, I am.
It's a documentary.
Is it out yet?
Yes, a documentary, actually, and it's a very good story about the guy. Yeah, I'll get into it later. Yes, if we have time.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely. Neat. All right, cool. I wanted to see it, but I never saw it, so I never saw where it went. But anyways, okay, so Phil, do you use any positive, thanks Nancy, sorry, do you have any, do you,
you
use
are
any
welcome.
Positive affirmations in your everyday routine?
Not really, but I do, however, think positively and envision positive outcomes to situations, and like Claude said, when you have those negative things or those old memories, you just pull out the good spots, learn your lessons, and go forward. And besides that, I mean, I just listen to guided meditation trance tapes almost every day that have a very positive subliminal message. But that is pretty much it for my daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't write little sticky tapes and put them on the computer and the mirrors or things.
It's interesting you say subliminal tapes, because I usually listen on my way to work. I'll listen to something, and they really work. They're good if you get the right ones, you know.
So. If you get the right ones, they're great. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's great for procrastination. So, thanks, Phil.
Okay.
So, Maureen, from your personal experience, how do you define life purpose?
Okay, this is my thing. What is a life purpose? I always pondered on that, and it's like, are you on the right path? I know even doing my work, I've always questioned, and I go on these, you know, tangents of negativity about maybe I'm not doing the right thing, my work, but I am. But that's one question. A lot of times we'll ask ourselves. I know I do. I think I can speak for many people do. I'm hoping I'm speaking okay with that. And also, are you making the right decisions? So there's been studies, though, that one of the things most people want to know is their life purpose. So when I started thinking about this, I've always wanted to know as a kid, you know, you always think you're the only one, but maybe we all do. And especially if you're a little bit of a eccentrically psyche, and that's a nice way of putting crazy, but eccentric, when you're a young age. So I notice as a nation or as a world, we are really busier than ever, but most are missing a very deep, very, very important satisfaction with their life. Their relationships and jobs lack meaning, and their lives lack direction and guidance. And I'm not saying all this applies to everybody. I'm just saying, you know, my feelings about it. So when you're on the right path, it's easy to know it. But when you're not living a guided existence, how do you get back to that path, right path? And I've gone through this so many times. So first, realize that everyone has a life purpose. All of us do. And not just the people that do this work. We all do. And second, it goes back into ask yourself, how authentic am I in my life? That's why I integrate both living authentically and also life purpose. So everyone's life purpose is deeply interwoven with the identity of their authentic self. So that's why I wanted to go into my thing with, you know, not affirmation so much and everything else. So if your authentic self is the deepest part of you, the part of you can't change. So the place within where your true God-given gifts reside. So if you live a life where you seek to know your true authentic self, then the part of you will begin to emerge naturally. It seems very clear to me. But you'll find that your life experiences unfold like a bloom, each of us then filled with guidance and meaning. So your guests are saying a lot about this. So if you force yourself to live a life of social approval as opposed to authentic life, you'll find that life is an empty experience. So with one hard knock after another, you'll feel as though you're always trying to hide something, and you'll feel that no one will ever really know you. So make a commitment to living an authentic life. And no, this doesn't mean being honest to a fault, such as, well, I'd like to be in denial, but such as telling your best friend that she really doesn't look that good in that dress. But your purpose will become more clear and your life more fulfilling. And he did touch on that. It's not always easy, and or it's not good to fester in passings, but take some of the past, the struggles to them, make them, and I've had a lot of them, and make it work for you to find. And that's authentic self going with your life purpose. And that's how I found my life purpose. It was very hard. But there you have it. I hope you followed me, everybody. Maybe not, but there you have it. But
thanks, Maureen.
You're welcome.
Yeah, sure. You guys. Okay, so Nancy, what is your perspective on the law of attraction?
I always say, be careful what you wish for, because you might just get it. And it's true, because people are always saying, I want and I wish and I need. And to be on a really positive note, anything that I've really ever wanted, I've gotten. And I like to believe I'm a very positive person. So, but there has been times when, you know, you want something and you put it out there and you get it and you're overwhelmed because you had no idea what it really meant to have this thing or this emotion or whatever it was that you wanted. So you really have to be clear about what it is you want, and when you really believe it and put it out there, you really do get it. So you have to be ready, and you have to be very careful for what you ask for. It has to be something that you really want to need and will benefit from. So be careful.
That's true.
That's kind of a negative thing too in the end, but it's true. You know, we shouldn't just ask for things and put it out there. It should be stuff that we really need that will make a difference, that will really enhance our life.
Yeah, and you know, I think a lot of people, what's wrong with just being where you already are? Like, just be still sometimes.
Totally.
You know? Like,
yeah,
exactly.
Don't
keep looking up there, well, when I get this and when I get that, you know, it's just
mm-hmm.
You know, my favorite words are like, be still, just be, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little bit too chillaxy, but.
And there's a Dave Matthews song that says, you know, if I had it all, I'd mess it up.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a good one, Nancy. Thanks. So, I got Phil next. So, Phil, what would you like to see people do globally using positive affirmations while in meditation?
That's a tricky question. Maureen will know this, though. Transcendental meditation.
TM.
TM, yeah.
Yeah,
the power of TM.
Yeah.
Do you remember when they tested it in D.C. for 8 weeks?
No, but like I said, in 1973, I worked, paid for it. I was 13 years old. I had to pay for it, being a receptionist at the first one in our city. I was at a young age. Maharishi was my deal, yeah. But
cool.
No, I don't. Yeah. So,
okay.
Go on. I'm sorry.
In 1993, in D.C., for an eight-week period, they did transcendental meditation. And the reason they did it was really hot, and the crime rate was supposed to go, or the violent crime rate was supposed to soar that summer. So they had 4,000 TMs there that would meditate, and they came from 100 countries. And the crime rate in D.C., instead of going up that summer, actually went down 23%.
Wow.
So that's kind of how positive thinking, and they, you know, scientifically tested it, and the cops were in on it, and the whole routine. So,
1993. I'm sorry, did you say that? 1993. Really?
1993.
So
yeah.
That's 20 years after the. I mean, when it came into the city of California, where I live, it was a big ordeal. And it was still very new people, but that's an interesting. 20 years later, 1989. That's nice. I'm glad to hear that, because it is quite interesting, but. I have a hard time meditating, but that is interesting. Thank you, Phil. That was great info. I like that. Thank you for that. I'm saying thank you.
You're welcome. Cool. You're welcome.
It's interesting. Someone in our chat room said that she did TM in Dublin and went on TV as the youngest person in Ireland to have it. Isn't that neat?
Well, Siobhan in England, but Siobhan, I was 13. She was 11. Well, I'm older than you, though, so how could that be? I'm just messing with her. Okay, I'll get to her. I know everyone.
That's okay. That's thanks, Phil. That was interesting.
Okay.
Maybe we can do a show about that one time. So, Nancy, what inspires you?
What inspires me? I'm inspired by people that overcome any obstacle in their life. And I've been inspired by many. And I think animals as well in nature really inspires me because you see them live in harmony with each other. And I think people too, like we were talking about, Claude was talking a little bit about breast cancer and things like that, and my mom had a rare form of cancer and she struggled with it for 4 years before she passed away 2 years ago. So people that really struggle against all odds or really find it inspiring, and even though sometimes it's a very negative thing like an illness, there's still a positive there as well.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's and that's how you get your inspiration, you know? That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. So, well, I'm glad. So did y'all like the show? It was good, wasn't it? It was
wonderful.
It was amazing. Very, very upbeat.
It was very he was very gracious too. I really thought that was very kind of him at the end, what he said to us. That's very gracious.
Yeah, he remembered everybody's name. And it was sweet.
Yeah, no, and he also said that he appreciated what we were doing and everything. I think it'd be great if he could. He might want to get this interview to get on his side as well, because it'll just get more people connected to what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I'll tell him. I'll ask if he'll put it on the site.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll just send him a link, because I think this would be ideal, because he has a lot of things out and his new stuff and everything. So. He was wonderful, and I was very happy that he brought up all the things that he did. He's the collective part of us all. Thanks, Sharon. And I really, you know what? That show, I was out of town, remember? I was out on the ghost investigator thing, and I was missing it. So it actually, how everything works out, it was great for me, because I was actually here for this show now. So thank you for that happening.
it worked.
May have been a negative, but it turned out to be a positive. Sorry, Doug, I know it was on your end a little bit not to come but still, thank you for that.
So now we've come to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions you can either call in or ask your questions in the chat room. However, we do have time to take the call-ins first. We do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. The call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Again, the number is 724-444-4851. Please note that no one will answer your call when you call. When your call comes in, you will be placed on hold automatically. Just relax and listen to the show while you wait. You will be able to speak to us when you are placed on the air. Please try to be very specific with your questions, as this will enable us to focus and hone in more directly to your area of interest. So, that's good, eh? So, what else? What else are you kind of out of questions? So, just anything... Well,
never mind. Goodbye.
Yeah, never mind. There we go. So we have Nancy, your first caller's here from Arizona.
Hi, Arizona. Oh. Hello?
Hey. Hello. Arizona, are you there?
Hello?
Nope, they left. Oh, well.
Okay.
All right.
False alarm.
Yeah, so we have someone here from Virginia for you, Nancy. So,
okay, hi, Virginia.
Hello.
How are you today?
Hello. I'm here.
Okay, that doesn't sound good.
No, just nothing's going right. I don't what to ask you specifically, Nancy, but I just need something direction in my life. I guess what I'm really looking for is somebody in my life. And
okay.
And I was talking to this girl out of Ohio, but I think she got back at me for not taking things more serious 2 years ago. So.
Okay. Okay, well, I think that what I'm getting is I see that there's a lot of despair, and you're very up. Well, I can hear it in your voice as well, like you're very upset. But the Hermit card came up, and the Hermit often comes up when the person needs some time alone and reflection. So even though right now you're having this alone time because you're not with anybody and it seems really awful, what you need to do is really take it as some time to work on yourself and, you know, kind of look at what you really want in a relationship and what went wrong and things like that. Not that you have to, you know, agonize over things, but I think that, you know, you're a wonderful person and this relationship didn't work out because it wasn't meant to work out. And I think that this person wasn't really the one for you, so you came into the relationship with all of these different ideas than she had, and so it didn't work out. And I mean, it's always hard when things don't work out, but you know, sometimes it's for the best. And I think in this situation, it really was because there is somebody else that's waiting to come into your life. And I think that
my life,
you know, it's yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, is there someone else that you're interested in right now, or are you still kind of trying to connect with this other lady?
No, I've realized it's not going to go anywhere, so I haven't talked to her. Well, she wouldn't answer my calls anyway, so I haven't been in any contact.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I think that's kind of doing you a favor, because I think if you had reconnected with her, you would have missed some opportunities that are coming up for you. And I think you just really need to realize how much you have to give somebody. And, you know, sometimes when we're not feeling so good about ourselves, it's really hard to attract that special person into your life. So I think you really need to start to realize how wonderful you are, because you are, and start to, you know, put it out there to the universe about the type of person that you want, because the person is waiting. And I feel that you haven't really met them yet. They're in your timeline, like they're coming up in the next, I would say, 6 months or less, or somebody that you're going to meet, but you're going to have to be more proactive and get out there and take some time for yourself. Like, I know you've taken a lot of time, but take some quality time and work on yourself and do whatever it is you need to do to get your mind, you know, back on. I was going to say back on the game, but it makes it sound like it is a game, but you are looking for a serious relationship, and that person is out there, and the next person that you meet is going to be better matched to you, so it's going to flow better. So this one was a bit of a challenge because it wasn't meant for you, and that's why it wasn't working.
Okay, so, I mean,
yeah.
I know y'all can see things, but how would this come about? That's what I don't understand. I'm sorry to take up the time.
Yeah, and No, that's okay. I don't have a lot of time, but I see you. Are you working right now?
I'm unemployed, but I'm helping a lady where I live at. I've been rebuilding a bunch of stuff for her, and she pays me weekly.
Oh, good for you. So you're keeping busy, and I feel that, are you online dating?
I was, but I was very disappointed in that.
Yeah, and I think that there might be a connection online for you, but you just have to be very careful and try not to jump into things, because I think where you are really wanting to meet someone, you kind of jump in, but use the online dating as a great tool to screen people out, because the thing about online dating is it's such a wonderful tool to meet people, and it gives you that opportunity to get to know them a lot before you actually meet them. So I think right. that you could go back at it, but just kind of look at it in a different way and use it to your advantage instead of jumping right in. Like, really be particular, because you deserve to have somebody really great in your life, and just don't settle for anybody. Really do your homework before you jump in.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot, Nancy.
Yeah. Okay. Good luck. Good night.
Great reading, Nancy.
Yes, very, very nice.
Yeah, they're inspiring. Went with the whole show.
Well, I hope so. I'm sticking to the theme. No, but it's true. I mean, when we're out there trying to meet people, we have to be positive.
Yeah. Marmeed, we have a caller here for you from Virginia now.
Yeah, another Virginia. Hi, Virginia. This is Maureen.
Hi, Maureen. This is Dee. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you, Dee?
I'm doing fine. I have a question for you.
Okay.
I communicated with a friend of mine, and we were communicating, texting back and forth, and abruptly the texting just stopped and the email just stopped. Do you see him reaching out to me? Do you see us reconnecting?
Right. Okay, so you were doing this on a pretty constant there, is what you're saying.
Well,
and it just suddenly stopped, or did it kind of...
About 48 hours was pretty constant, yes.
Okay, yeah. You know, I get a feeling that... can you tell me the name of the person that you're talking about that you were doing this with?
Steve?
Okay.
Yeah.
I do see you getting ready to go on, it looks like, a short trip somewhere. And... is there a child? I'm getting there's a child around, or maybe this might be a childlike person. I feel that this is going to work itself out. Does he live in a warmer, drier area than you? Or
no, we live in the same area.
Oh, you do. So he doesn't travel. He doesn't. He's usually just around the area, so you could run in very easily. Because I'm picking up if this is him, he looks very charming, and other women would see him as charming. His eyes are very, I'm just trying to explain if this is him, maybe it's somebody else, but his eyes are like a greenish hazel color, and he's very charming. Does it sound like the person that you're, is he a charming individual?
Charming, but kind of shy, so, a little shy.
Well, okay, well, I get a feeling he's having, this is the thing. I feel that there's some issues at work. It always is something like that. Issues at work. It looks like he's been fighting against work issues with people that, he's like up against a group, and he's all by himself and standing his ground, and he hasn't been getting much of credit or being acknowledged for his part in it. And I think something like that, it may be bothering him. And when a male or female gets like that, they have a hard time focusing on any relationship because they want to be all they can be. And also, it looks like there's also a delay of a move. Were you two moving to? I mean, had you been talking, or him moving to another place, or did you? There's something, and I don't know what this is. Or you had thought you were moving forward, maybe being able to move in. I don't know, talking about a new home or doing something to a new home. So,
that's good. I'm doing something to my health.
You are? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I feel that you two are going to have you have to have an opportunity to almost like start fresh, because some things have been going on. And you said this hasn't been a long thing. This has been a pretty, I'm sorry, because you said this has been a pretty new, relationship. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. So what I'm trying to say is I feel that some of the commotion is going to be behind him soon, and I do feel he's going to be able to focus then on a relationship. I don't see this to be over. I feel actually it's a very good positive thing in one way, but I feel a reconnection will be a fresh new start, and it will be in the next by the end of summer. Just hang in there. And
okay, so do I need to reach out to him, or just kind of just step aside? And
I would reach out to him. I don't think it would hurt at all. In fact, it would not hurt at all, and it wouldn't run risk of him running either. I don't get that. So absolutely, if you feel that you need to, yes, absolutely do. Just check in on him. You know, that would be good. I see that to be very positive.
He didn't respond to my emails or my texts. So
I know that.
I
mean, give him a little more time, but I feel that. Even if he doesn't, don't send him anything like that for the hopes of him responding. Excuse me. Just do it because you want to, unconditionally. I guess if you can look at it that way. Okay. And this, I do feel that I see him around. And unconditionally, if you do that, you won't feel so down if he doesn't respond.
Okay. And you said you see a child in around?
Yeah, I just see some child having some problems. And I don't know if there's children around him, but having some emotional problems.
I have a granddaughter. I don't know if that's what you're picking up on. I have a granddaughter.
Oh, okay. She'll be okay. She's very sensitive psychic. You're a real in-tune person, and I think she's very, she needs your, and that would be a good person to focus on your granddaughter, then while this is going on, it will be a good thing. Help her out, because she's misunderstood. You understand her. This is a good reading. You will not be disappointed.
Okay. All right.
Okay, I hope
that's
I help you. And thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Oh, good night.
Thanks, Marie. So, Phil, we have a caller here now from Georgia.
Hey, Georgia, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
I have a job situation. I wanted to see if you see me getting employment anytime soon.
What was the beginning of that, Georgia?
I wanted to see if you saw me getting a job soon.
Okay, let's see what's in the cards here. You are. It's really on your mind right now. You're unemployed currently.
Yeah.
Let's see if we're going to get you something soon. Define soon for me. I'm getting in about 3 months.
Hopefully not. But tell me what you see.
Let's see if it's any sooner. I'm just using the pendulum. Will it be within two? Will it be with one? I'm getting in the second month, so 2 months from now you'll be gainfully employed. I mean, it's all that's on your mind right now, and just kind of don't get down on yourself and look in different directions than you've been looking. Okay. Because you're definitely looking at your future as not clear. So, you know, apply to different kinds of places, things you're interested in, things to that nature. Don't be afraid to make a change, okay? And don't think you're a failure, but just kind of, it's saying you're ready for a change. And I don't know what you've done in the past. What have you done before? Maybe we can go from there.
Accounting. As accounting manager.
An accounting manager, so finance, look into all aspects of that. Anybody who might need somebody to that nature.
Okay.
Legal firms, things like that, they're looking for accounting. So kind of get out of that straight, I'm an accounting manager for this type of industry.
No, I've looked at all industries. I'm not biased as to one industry as opposed to the other. I just haven't had success. So that's where you see, and it's been a long time, so that's where you probably see where I'm very antsy now, and you're still looking at 3 months out. Do you have any details as to location or building or person or anything where I would know that this might be it?
Yeah, hold on a second. You do have a lot of changes coming up in the house. Have you thought about moving?
Because
it almost looks like you maybe have a move coming up.
Not that I know of.
Okay, have you applied outside of where you're living at currently?
Just a little, not a whole lot.
You may, since you're so antsy, you may want to do that because you have two change cards, both revolving around the house, which could indicate that you may be moving for your next position. So throw some resumes out that way too and just kind of keep at it. And I'm not getting where. Obviously, you need to watch your money. So there you go. They're emotionally free. Yeah, I can see it's been a real struggle for you. don't see what industry or where. I'm just saying spread it out more. There's one out there for you. There's somebody looking, and you're probably going to start getting, there you are again, getting some activity. So use your networks, use everything, just kind of get in tune. When you walk in the door on an interview, you're going to know it's the right place. I mean, you're going to spiritually know it. It's just going to connect for you. You just haven't found that yet, obviously. Big changes are coming. The wheel of fortune's up. It's spinning around. It's time for things to occur. You just need to kind of get out of that. It's not happening. Like we had the whole show on positive attitudes, and start going, okay, it's going to happen.
Okay.
And switch that around and stop feeling like you're stuck and feeling like things are going to go into motion for you. Okay. So, cause I get a definitely feeling you've lost most of your energy. Your drive,
yeah.
your strive,
yeah.
and that's what you need to get back to start making things happen.
Okay.
I wish I could tell you where and who to call, but you know that's not coming through. It's just coming through to get it out there, change your energy, and you know things are definitely on the table to start turning and get yourself out of that negative place. Okay, and there you are, spiritually all set. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
And spread it around. Shoot it out of state if you see something online that catches your eye, and use whatever networks you have, and just you know slam it.
Okay,
Georgia.
Thank you.
All right, you're welcome.
Alrighty then, that's good. We have a caller here, and it's for me, and she's from England, we believe. So, hello, are you there?
Yeah, it's Siobhan.
Oh, hi, how are you? We thought it was you.
Hi.
So I'll be answering your question tonight. It's Sharon. So what's your question?
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
I'm interested in women, and I just wonder if you could see anybody coming into my life soon.
Okay. I'm going back 3 months for some weird reason, and I see there was someone in your life that you thought, was there someone that touched your life and you kind of thought that she was the one, but it wasn't? And when I go forward, though, I'm getting a seven. So it's like, I don't know if it's a 7 month, like July, which would bring us now, or it's in 7 months, but I'm feeling there's someone coming into your life that's going to make you feel amazing. They're going to make you feel, for the first time, not vulnerable. And they're not going to, the neat part is they don't, somebody, I feel so many people that you meet want so much from you. They want you to give to them, or to make them whole, or to make them better. But this person is just going to be a really lovely relationship. Let me go in to see what the seven, let's see here for a sec. No, I kind of get 7 months away. Now, did you just get over a relationship like about 3 months ago?
Yeah, she said she wasn't interested. We didn't actually have a relationship. She just said she wasn't interested, so...
Yeah, like it feels like a flash, sort of, like, you know, but I am seeing, you need someone who's, you know, like, someone has a little bit of, like, classy, someone, you know, someone that's like you, you know, like someone that understands what you understand, you know,
yeah.
And Spirit's saying that there's a trip in about 7 months, and it might be there. Where do you travel a lot?
Not particularly, but I've been running into old friends of mine in Ireland, and one of them has a place in Berlin, and she's invited me there. But I was going to go in September, and
okay.
I may postpone it.
No, no, go if you're supposed to go. Just pay attention to the seventh, the number seven for the next little while. I don't know why I see that. So on the seventh of the month, and just see how that rings a bell, you know, like, or if you see 777, I just keep getting that number around you. And I'm feeling, I'm just feeling you'll know this person, and it's like Spirit's saying it's about time. It's like you're ready, you're ripe, you're ready to meet that person of your dreams, and it's all going to happen, and it is very soon. But I did, what about 7? So July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, so February. But I do see there's a trip involved. So somehow, you know, if you're supposed to go in September, you go, and who knows how what'll get you where you have to go, right?
So did you say that you thought that she was already in my life?
No, I don't feel. I don't feel someone three. No, I don't. I don't know if you know this person yet. I don't think you've met her yet, because I'm feeling when you meet her, it's like you almost like you're it takes your breath away. So it feels like you know her. I mean, when you know her, I mean like in another life or another time, another place. But it's almost like I feel your breath being taken away when you meet this person. It's very neat.
Do you think that she's I'm 43. Do you think she'd be younger or older or the same?
I'm feeling a little bit older, like not like a lot, like maybe a year, but nothing big.
And anything significant about her that I could, you know, that I might be able to sort of see?
Okay, I see sort of hair to kind of like her chin, like it's really pretty hair. It's like kind of like, you know, the hair that kind of goes back, it's short at the back and then a little bit long at the front. I'm feeling there's glasses. There's, I'm feeling that she has a certain, like an important job, like either she's a lawyer or she's, like she has a profession kind of like a, I don't know what that's called. And I'm just, you know what? I want to take all that away because I don't want you to start questioning who you meet, but I have to tell you, as soon as you meet her, you will know her. Without a shadow of a doubt. Okay, so watch for 7 months. Pardon?
Do you feel she'll feel the same?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's one of those moments. It's just like, you know, where it takes your breath away. So good luck to you then.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate that, Sharon.
All right, you take care. Good
luck. Thank you. It's a great show. Thanks very much. Bye.
Oh, great. Thank you. So we have someone here for Nancy from Washington State.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm very well.
Good.
What can I do for you this evening?
My question is due to my physical restrictions, I will be having new training, and there will be choices as to what training I can have. And do you see specifically what direction I should take?
Okay, so you said for training purposes?
Yes, I'll be having new training, and do you see and I'll have choices as to what kind of training I have. And do you see specifically what direction I should take?
Well, is there something that speaks to you? I see, again, the Hermit card. This is twice tonight now the Hermit card has come up for people. And I see that, have you been off for a little while?
Yes, for a very long time for me, the longest I've ever been out of work.
Okay, so that's going to continue for a little while as you ponder what it is that you want to do. And I think that you know what it is that you want to do, and you just have to make that decision and move forward. But I see a lot of spiritual stuff around you, and I think that your goal or your mission in life, and I could be wrong, but I feel that you are somebody who has to help other people. Is that something that appeals to you?
Sometimes.
And there's many ways to help others. Like, you don't have to, you know, be a counselor or be a nurse or, you know, volunteer at some kind. You know, there's many, many ways to help people, and you can do that by sharing knowledge that you have. So I think that there's a sharing of knowledge, that kind of thing that you need to do, not actually like a teacher, but somebody who's going to be sharing knowledge of some kind with other people. So does that ring any bells?
That actually really fits, because I do like to share knowledge with other people, and I like to learn, so that fits.
Yeah, and I think that it's not a teaching, like it wouldn't be formally a teaching position, but whatever your training is combined with your life experience, I think that's the direction that you need to go in. So you need to either find a position, and I think that's, you know, that's probably what's been stopping you apart from the fact that you maybe you haven't been physically ready to, is that emotionally you weren't ready, and I feel now that you are, and that deep down inside on some subconscious level, I feel that you've known that you have to go out and help people, and the way you're going to help is by sharing what it is you know and combining it in your own unique way that you can help others. So there's a position either already waiting for you or one that's going to be created. It might be, excuse me, an opportunity for you to start a business.
Okay. And that actually makes sense. Because I could do that.
Yeah.
Have my own business.
Yeah, and I feel, yeah, and that would give you the creative no restrictions on what you could do, and you could, you know, at a point now where you're kind of starting over, yet you're actually getting a second chance to make a difference for yourself, and you can take this opportunity and make a difference with other people, and you do have a lot of gifts combined with any training and support that they're willing to give you to help you get out there and get back into the workforce. So, you know, I feel your path is to help others by sharing what you have.
Okay. Thank you.
That, all right. That well, has been very good helpful. Luck.
Thank you, Nancy.
Okay. Take care.
Bye. Bye now.
Great reading, bye-bye. Nancy. That's great. So we have, Maureen's going to do one from the chat room, I believe.
Yes, and Kathy, Marie asked to go, would she said to go ahead, Kathy, go first. So here, hi, Kathy, how are you? And she's asking, and I'm sorry because I got yours up there. She's asking, wait for it, it comes up. Because she got a little bit ahead of me. Okay, Kathy, she's asking, do you see me getting a job with General Electric? That's a very good, straightforward GE, good company. Let me see. Okay, Kathy, I assume that you actually have approached them. That's how we manifest things happening. So I'm, and if you want to answer, you know, yes, you have, put in, that's fine too. So, not sure if, oh, sorry, Kathy, I did get it, thanks. Okay, so, let's see. Now, it really does appear to me that you are due for a nice new job where you're at, or previously, or now still. It's too much burden on your back. It's way too much burden. And your sleep looks like it's getting better. So I think that you're on the right track by... I'm hoping, though, that you have gone in the direction... And, Kathy, if you could answer me, have you approached GE and have you gone through any process of everything about, you know, especially for GE, they have a process of... I know that's a little bit more so than some. Well, the one psychicaccess.com is pretty hard to get into. But if... I'm hoping, because I do feel that if you have applied yourself, but I am also picking up on some unfairness coming here, and I'm not quite sure why that is. And so, Kathy, could you answer me? Have you submitted your resume? Have you seen somebody at the first stages? Because I know they put you through several stages. Because if not, it's not going to happen. And I mean, if not, if you haven't gone to the, you know, the proper avenues. So, as far as me seeing you get a job with General Electric, not sure if I need... Okay, so Kathy, can you answer me quickly with that? Because part of me is seeing that there's some unfairness or some unjust, but it might be coming from because you haven't maybe applied yourself as it needs to be in the proper politically correct procedure for General Electric. Kathy. So, anyway, let's put it this way. What you're doing right now, whatever it is or isn't, is a complete burden on you. So, by going for any new position outside of what you're in now or what maybe you're not doing right now is going to be extremely positive. But it does feel, again, like there's an unjust, unfairness situation. But I do feel that if that's the case, it means that you're not applying in the right, you're not applying yourself to the General Electric. You know, like sometimes we go, I'd like to do that, but you haven't gone. And I'm not saying that's the case. I've been waiting for you to answer. That's sometimes in chat, it's so hard to do readings because it is not feed the psychic, but to get some input. Don't you girls and men agree? But so Kathy's not answering me, so I don't know. Well, Kathy, all I know is that's a good time, good timing for a new to apply yourself for a new job. And oh my goodness, isn't that funny? Maria in the chat room says, I know, I'm a recruiter at GE. Isn't that interesting, you guys? Isn't that interesting?
That is, tell her to hire her.
No, totally. Hey, job. Totally. No, I think, what a synchronicity is that? Come on. Marie, that was unreal. So, I don't know, Kathy's not is being very quiet, but there you have it. I mean, what more could you ask for? You got a recruiter. Kathy's not saying much of anything. God, that is kind of cool. Marie, that is kind of cool, don't you think? Of all the people in the GE. Well, Kathy, I guess you're not there still, but if you so, I would connect with Marie there. That's great. In the Midwest, but so I hope I helped you. I guess we need to move on. So, but that is pretty cool. I mean, but Kathy's not hopefully she's still in there. I see your name, but I guess I don't know what else to do but Kathy, go for it. And if you have a contact in here. Thanks, Marie, for bringing that up. That was nice of you. There you have it. I hope that helped. Okay. There you go.
That was very serendipitous, wasn't it?
Very much so. Very
yeah.
Cool.
So, Phil, you have a question in chat, so I'm hoping you know what that is.
I think so. For Marie.
Yes.
I'm wondering if my ex-husband is going to be moving out of state before the end of the year, and will he and I be able to work out a fair agreement about our children and support? Okay, well, the first thing I get is he will be moving out of state. But I don't get it like 1,000 miles away. It's, you know, just out of state, but still could come back for weekends, things of that nature, yes. Okay. All right. Situation's definitely over in the cards as far as the children and what else was it? And the support. Will it be fair? Let's see, once we go to court. You actually appear, after all these cards, to be happy with the result. There will be some give and take, obviously. And he's looking away, so he's actually upset with the outcome, and that's pretty good. It's like he was trying to get more than he should have and get some taken away. So to answer the question pretty bluntly, you look happy but emotionally drained is what's coming through. And let's see if we got a couple money cards to come up for you, Miss Marie. Mm-hmm. Now, money cards are not flying out for you, so your luxury is going to change, but not that much. I've got the luxury awry card, but it's upside down. Don't think you're a money failure. That's up there, too. So it's kind of dancing between the two. So kind of get yourself out of that funk. What I'm getting is 6 months from now, everything's going to come together nicely. So it could be you may start your own career along with what's going on or things to that nature. But your money's going to come around. As far as the straight-up question of how will the settlement be and things to that nature, you'll be happy with the agreement. There's going to be some give and take, but you'll be happy with it. Do you have a follow-up question, or do you want to type something in the chat? Marie?
I think she's written a few things in there.
Has she? I know a recruiter at GE in the Midwest. I'm only getting...
She says how I'm...
Oh, I got to scroll down. I'm sorry.
Yeah. She says how I impact...
I'm worried about the kids, how I impact... Oh, she wrote a lot of stuff. No, I'm not heartbroken. He's a liar and cheater. Yeah, we know that. She can have him. Worried about the kids. How will it impact them? See, you are emotionally drained, but it's over the kids, so that's good. Okay. How will it impact them? All right. Actually, you've got group success up, so they're going to get over it pretty quick. Okay. So they're a little confused, but they're going to get over it, and you're going to be a happy unit. So that's a good thing. They will be thinking about it. And is it a boy and a girl? The kids, what are the kids? Marie? Yes, okay, cool. All right. So the girl is going to come to terms with it a lot quicker, and the boy is going to kind of be hung up on it for a while, and you might see him a little unstable and a little confused for a little bit. So just kind of keep your eye on him. Eventually he will come around and figure out what's going on and, you know, why you did what you did or why what happened, and he'll come to terms with that. But he's definitely, just to let you know, he's on your side, so that's a good thing. He's just going to have to go through this stuff. Okay? Anything else while you're typing away? Also, good things happening with my business. We'll just go to the pendulum for that. Okay. Are good things going to happen for Marie's business? She's saying she has three girls. I've got your business is going to do fine. And you keep putting three girls, not two boys. Okay. Well, I'll go back to the group success card. And let's see if I can pull up the girl. And let's just go with one girl is going to come to terms quickly. One is going to be kind of a little off. And the other one, emotionally free. And the other one is going to be sad for a while, but be on your side. So they're all on your side. You're all going to bond nicely. And that is about it.
Great reading, Phil. Perfect. So, everyone, I guess that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. So next week's show is anchored by Phil. Phil, what do we have to look forward to next week?
Oh, we have next week, we have Shatan Pakin with Human Design, Discover the Person You Were Born to Be. And it's pretty cool because he combined the four ancient wisdoms, astrology, the chakra systems, the I Ching, and the Kabbalah, and put those all together and then added 3 months, Maureen, you'll like this, 3 months before you were born, your brain opens up, so that data is now in there with the astrology chart.
Cool.
And it's a pretty cool system.
Yeah.
So.
That is,
because that's when the brain starts to open, and you can ask your niece or daughter or whatever, and she can tell you that stuff. So he's got it all going on together, and it's like astrology becomes scientific, and he's got it all together. So it's going to be pretty interesting.
That sounds amazing. Can't wait. So that's it. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night, night.
Good night.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, psychicaccess.com.